Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
In the name of Jesus, the enemy's defeated. And shout it out. That's about as far as my melody goes. Okay. But the song is about lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Jesus came preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are the same. They're used interchangeably in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the saying goes that the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. In other words, there are over 360 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus Christ, his birth, his burial, his resurrection, his work, and his coming. Almost all of them have been fulfilled, which is statistically an impossibility, except for his second coming, his return. So this book is about God dealing with us and his creation through Jesus Christ. You are going to see that today in the book of Ephesians, and it's in the first chapter. So having said that, can we pray? Will you stand with me? Because I'm going to have you sitting for a little bit. Go ahead, stand up. Reach across and grab a sister's arm or a hand. Touch them somehow. Connect. The men hate to do this, but you know we need 5 hugs a day to be healthy. Did you know that? 5. So you should get at least 3 of them here at Girlfriends or Women Rock, right? Okay, so let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Father, your Word tells us that your Word is spirit and it's truth, and it has the power to save our souls, to change us and to rearrange us. Holy Spirit, you are the revelator of the church. So I ask in Jesus' name that you would bring us into this next hour of revelation, inspiration, and yes, information, that it would be, Father, something that would help us grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be fit for every good work that you have ordained for us to walk in. And we ask it in the mighty name of our King, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so going to the book of Ephesians, we're going to be looking at the kingdom of God, the plan of God this morning. Is that all right? And Jess has asked me to have 2 sessions. So I'm taking Christology, which is 8 weeks in the Bible college, and I'm taking the kingdom of God, which is 2 sessions, 2 seasons, 2 semesters. I'm taking 24 lessons, and in 2 weeks, I'm going to give you a synopsis. Is that all right? Because this is about the king and the kingdom, and it's about the book of Ephesians. Now, Ephesians was written, of course, by the Apostle Paul. He wrote it in his first imprisonment in Rome, and he wrote several books alongside of it while he was in Rome and in prison. He was in house prison at that time. This wasn't his second time when he was going to be martyred. This was the first time. And Ephesians is an interesting book. It's called the Alps of the New Testament because its heights are insurmountable. It takes us to places that no other book will take us. Ephesians was probably one of the 3rd largest cities in the ancient world. Along with Rome, Alexandria, Ephesians comes in about 3rd. It's in the area that we now call Turkey. So that's where it was located. It was located in a place where there were 7 churches, and you'll find those 7 churches in the book of Revelation when Jesus is holding the 7 stars, the 7 pastors in his hand, and the 7 lampstands, which represent the 7 churches. He's walking among them, and he's reciting to John and giving John 7 letters to 7 churches. All of those churches were in the region of Turkey, and this letter circulated to all of those churches. So just a little history of where it was written. It was written probably close to his death, but not at his death. And so when Paul writes this, and as Jess and Dr. Vanessa have so beautifully, beautifully given us the beginning of this book, and I'm just going to read the first 6, can we just read the first 6 verses, and then we'll launch off into where we're going today. Are you all right with me? I feel so rusty. It's been so long since I've taught, so if I if I stutter or sputter or whatever, just who cares, you know? Just be with me, because I think this is a life change. It was life changing for me. When I understood the kingdom of God and God began to teach me about his kingdom, then everything else in my walk with Jesus Christ, it's like the penny dropped, the light came on, and everything changed. And the just shall live by faith. There's no other way for us to live on this planet. There's no other way to please God except by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things we don't see. We know by faith that the world's reframed by the word of God. And I believe that this is going to be a faith-building two sessions for you as we study this. So it may be a little laborious today, but can you put your study glasses on? And we're in college right now, and we're going to get a theology course. Is that all right? Here we go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I want you to stop right there. Do y'all have your notes? Okay, find a blank piece of paper on your notes. I don't know if you have a blank piece on the end. Is there a blank piece? There isn't. All right, well, then that's not going to work. That's okay. That's all right. If you can find a blank piece of paper or a blank thing of white, I want you to take that and just draw a small little line about an inch long. You got your pens? You doing it? A line. Just a little line. Now, what I want you to do is that line represents time. That line is time. It works better on a blank piece, but just use your imaginations. Can you with me? So if you drew a little, let's say you just drew a little line right here at the top, an inch long. The rest of this paper, just use your imaginations and pretend like it's blank. It's just white. Is that all right with you? The line is time, and the blank piece of paper is eternity. God made time. God lives in eternity. We live in time. Time is made up of time, matter, and space. That's what time is made up of. God made time. God doesn't live in time. We live in time. We live on a linear scale. We live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year until our time is over. We are eternal beings. God has placed eternity in our hearts, and we are having a time experience. God invaded our time with his presence and with his son, Jesus Christ. But it says here in Ephesians, if you go back with me, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You see, you're going to see that a lot in the book of Ephesians. You're going to see past tense. We are seated with him in heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 2. Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. What God is saying is that you're in time right now, but what has happened to you is eternal. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, was slain from the foundations of the earth. This is where we get a little nebulous and we get a little confused, because we're linear. We live in time, space, and substance. Are you with me? Everything in our world is corporeal. It's natural. It's material. We don't see the invisible any more than you can see microwaves, radio waves, sound waves. You cannot see eternity. Are you with me? But eternity is more real than this natural, corporeal, time, space, substance world that we are now living in, this material universe that we exist in. So, having said that, God has already done what he's going to do. And in eternity, it's finished. It's done. That means, let's just use an example. Is it Super Bowl this week? All right, let's say your team, whatever team it is, I don't even know who's playing. Whatever team is playing, let's say your team, you want to watch the Super Bowl and you can't wait for the Super Bowl. You've got a DVR and you want to come to church on Sunday night, so you are going to watch part of the game and then you're going to DVR the end of it because you're so committed. Little plug there. Okay. Then as you get to church, and the end of church, somebody tells you, your team won. So you know what happened. So then you go home and you finish the game. And as you watch that game, you see that your team looks like it's losing. It looks like all hell's breaking loose. How can we win? How is this going to happen? But you know, because it's already happened, that your team has won. So when you watch the Super Bowl, even though you're seeing all the trials and all the tests and all the tribulation of that team winning, you know the end because it's already happened. So you're watching from backwards to forwards. Well, it's the same thing in eternity. You see, we are living in time, but God lives in eternity. And in eternity, this has already happened. That's why with my kids, when all hell was coming against them and God wanted to just pull them out of hell, he said, don't you look at the natural and don't you look at what's going on because it's already written. I've already ordained what they're going to be. You just pray it through and flesh it through and walk it through in the kingdom of God and you're going to win. That's where faith comes in. Are you with me? But because we live in time and he lives in eternity, we get messed up on the linear. And we even look at the word of God on the linear scale and we can get messed up that way too. So let's look at this with fresh eyes. So here we go. I got 2 weeks. I got to get going. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Without blame means you're guiltless. The crime does not stick. You've been judged and found innocent and not guilty. We're blameless. Woohoo! Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Here we are. Here's a review of the last 2 weeks. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's already happened. You have everything you will ever need to be successful. The word blessed means the power to succeed. God's given you the power to succeed in your earth time. You and your family and your children and your children's children have been given that gift by God. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have been handpicked. You've been chosen by God. You are holy and you are blameless in his love. You are not guilty no matter what you've done. You are absolutely washed, cleansed as if it never happened. The shame of your past is washed away and it's like another life. That's why you can give testimony and say, I was this and this and this, but God, and now I'm a saint, holy, washed in the blood, a daughter of the living God, able to go forth royal as his daughter on this planet. That's what that means. Adopted as sons, and Dr. Vanessa did such an incredible job. Get that message if you didn't hear it. And we are accepted in the beloved. Those are the first six verses. That word accepted is harito. It's only used twice in the New Testament. It was used when Gabriel said to Mary, hail, thou favored of the Lord. Hail, thou harito of God. Hail, thou favored, the one that was chosen, the one out of all the women in eternity that God handpicked to be the seed of the woman to bring forth the Messiah. Harito. And there it says in Ephesians 1:6 that we are accepted, that we are haritoed in the beloved, that you are chosen, you are favored, you are everything you're ever going to need by the chosen will of God the Father because of the Son. So those are the first six verses. But it gets better. Because now in verse 7 through 10, which is where we are today, it says, in him. Now who's the in him? Jesus. Because chapter 1 verse 6 says, he has made us acceptable in the beloved. Who's the beloved? Jesus. The thought continues. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. What the world does that mean? In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the wealth of His amazing grace, His sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our heart, on our behalf when we can't do it. He saved us by His grace. His power saved us, not our power, which He made to abound. There's this abounding grace. Grace is always coming at you. 24/7, grace, like the sun, is constantly abounding towards you and towards me. It never runs out. It never stops. It's never less than what it is. It says in verse 8, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation, here's verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one. Now, who's the He that we're talking about here? Not Jesus, the Father. Now, it switched back to the Father. That He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in the earth in Him. Okay, now that's a big mouthful. And you can just read that and you can just walk on by and go, well, I'll put this away for another time. Because right now, I just need to know I'm accepted, I'm blameless, I'm holy, I'm blessed. Woohoo! But you see, God doesn't just want us to stay with the I ams, how blessed I am. God wants us to come into maturity and understand why we're here, what our purposes are, and what He wants us to do before He beams us up and we are out of here and we separate from these temples. It's called death, separation. And we are with Him in eternity. Because I only have this much time. That little line is all I got for the rest of eternity. And what I do here determines my eternity. So, let's talk about this. It says here, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, speaking of the Father, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one. 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 All things. Does your Bible say all things? All things. In Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are in the earth in Him. So God is doing something very, very unique. He is in a restoration program, and He's gathering all things, visible and invisible, in one, in Christ, and there's an end coming. He is restoring back the kingdom. You're looking at me like a cow is looking at a new gate. I'll show you. Go with me to Colossians. I believe it's on your notes. Colossians. Chapter 1. Go there with me. And if you'll look with me in verse, I'm going to go a little bit further. If you'll look with me in Colossians 1. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So not only has He chosen us, not only has He made us holy, not only has He accepted us, but now He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, brought us into the kingdom, here's the kingdom again, of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through the blood, forgiveness of sins. Does this sound like a companion scripture? All right, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He is, speaking of Jesus, the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him, speaking of Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Speaking of Jesus Christ. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Speaking of Christ, here it is. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him, by Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, the Father. By him, whether the things on the earth or things in heaven, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. So there we have the companion scripture of the kingdom that is in a restoration process. Have you ever heard this before? Some of you are looking at me like, are you preaching heresy? No, I'm not. Jesus came preaching and teaching the kingdom of heaven. John said, first out of his mouth, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus' first message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We read it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, 8, 10, 11, and all the way through, that he has conveyed us, he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. That tells me there's two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of darkness, which Jesus shed light on, very, very much spoke of it constantly in the Gospels, and we're going to look at this next week. And there is the kingdom of God. Now, let me explain something to you. God is restoring all things to himself. And he's using Jesus Christ, the cross, and the church earth side to do it. Visible and invisible, that's an amazing thing. You're going to find out in the book of Ephesians that to the church, God has given the manifold wisdom of God to display to the invisible realm, the principalities and the powers that you and I can't even see. You see, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what this is all about, if you don't know who the king is and what the kingdom is all about, then you're going to walk through your relationship as a believer on this earth doing the best you can to survive. But once you begin to understand that you are now translated out of the kingdom of darkness, you are no longer a slave, you no longer have to obey it, and you've been translated into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of light, that there is a king, his name is Jesus, and he is your head, and you are the body, and you are to rule and reign on this earth through the power in his name, by his blood, in the kingdom of God, which is invisible, but is all around us, is limitless, and nothing is impossible because it's God's reign and rule and regency, then all of a sudden you begin to walk a little different. You begin to step up a whole lot different, and you begin to shout, and you begin to take authority, and then you begin to take dominion. I'm not saying all hell's not going to break loose against you, but you are the warrior you are supposed to be, equipped with everything you need in heavenly places, all spiritual blessings, all gifts that you need, all grace that abounds and abounds and abounds and abounds to you every day. And there is nothing impossible, and there's nothing you can't do that he's ordained for you to do and that you can believe. That's why Jesus said all things are possible to those who believe. That's why he said the kingdom of God is all around you. It's in you. The kingdom. This is about the kingdom. And the book of Ephesians, and let me read my quote to you. I wrote this last night. Ephesians, my glasses, is the revelation of who the church is in Jesus Christ. And our role, earth side, as we believe and grow into maturity in him through the Holy Spirit. As we grow in the revelation of who he is, his immeasurable love, and who we are in him, the church of every generation engages in the great work of carrying out this plan of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration of all things to God through Jesus Christ. Now let me show you something in 1 Corinthians. There's a kingdom. There is a process going on. There is a redemption, reconciliation, and restoration process going on. If you've got your Bibles, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. God is reconciling all things back to himself through Jesus and the church. Whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or everything earth side. That tells me there was rebellion. There's another kingdom. It's an opposing kingdom. It explains why there's good and evil on the earth. It will explain the battle between good and evil. It will tell you what Satan's kingdom is made up of versus the kingdom of God, which, and we're going to see next week what are. And just very briefly, I can only give you an outline because this is a year course in the Bible college. I just want to whet your appetites. There are laws of the kingdom of heaven. There's a rule of law in the kingdom of heaven. There is an economy in the kingdom of heaven. There is power in the kingdom of heaven. There is a rule of law in Satan's kingdom. There is power in Satan's kingdom. And there is a treasury in Satan's kingdom. We're going to look at those things. Because if you don't understand this, it's like going to a foreign country, deciding that's where you're going to live for the rest of your life. You cannot speak the language. You do not know the laws. And you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be locked in your house. You're going to venture out every so often, get what you have to get, come back home, and feel like a foreigner because you don't understand that realm that you're living in. You see, we're in the natural world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're not of it. I'm working out my earth time, but I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I've been given all spiritual blessings. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul then explains what's happening. So there's a king, there's a kingdom. He must rule and he must reign until all things are back together. That's what the book of Revelation is about. That is what the day of the Lord is about. That is what the end times are all about. There's an end coming, guys. There is an end coming. Jesus is coming. This world is on a time frame. This world is on God's time frame. He has a desire that none should perish, but all should come into the kingdom of God. That's our job. In our generation, to preach this gospel and to live this gospel out every way we can, any way we can, so that we reveal the King and the glorious, glorious business of the kingdom of heaven. That's our job, whether we are housewives, whether we are pastors, whether you are a waitress, whether you are a doctor, whether you're a nurse, whatever your profession is, it doesn't matter. You have a sphere of influence and you have power, and your life is to bring forth a revelation of the King, and you are to walk in victory and walk in the blessing of God, the power to succeed. God did not create you to fail. He created you to be blessed and to succeed. But this world wants to pull you down, and until our minds are renewed by the word of God, we will not change. We'll be saved, but we won't change. So here's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Has anybody ever read that chapter? Not too many of you. Homework this week is read it. Verse 20, but now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Speaking of the first Adam, everyone died. Death, biblical definition, separation. You don't cease to exist, you separate. When I die, I will separate from this body, but I am eternal. This body will go back to the dust. It's nothing more than an earth suit. When Adam and Eve died, when they sinned in the garden, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they sinned. They died spiritually first. They separated from the oneness they had with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? It took them 990 some years to separate from their physical bodies, and they died. And their bodies went back to the dust. The last death, the final separation, is going to be the great white throne judgment. You either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And if you are not written in the Lamb's book of life, then you will separate from God for all eternity and you will be cast into the lake of fire and hell. But God didn't make you for hell. He didn't make you for that lake of fire. He made you in the image of God, and he has come first to redeem you, buy you back, how by identification he sent his son Jesus to become a man to identify with us so that you and I could be saved as him being the last Adam, as the first Adam killed us, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, gave us life when he died and fulfilled the law and he carried our sin and he was raised from the dead. When he was raised from the dead, he then could bring sons and daughters into resurrection life. We were born again with a new nature and we have been redeemed. Then he reconciled us. He brought us back to the Father, and now he is restoring us through transformation. Redeemed, reconciled, and restored. That's the kingdom. Are you with me? So Paul says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one is in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. Here's the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. You want to know what's going on in the world today? Why people say, well, if God is God, then why is there so much evil? Because there is a renegade terrorist that God has allowed that said, I will be like the Most High. I will lift my throne above the stars in heaven. I will be like God apart from God. Satan himself, by the abundance of his trading, he corrupted his wisdom for the sake of his splendor. He was created perfect and beautiful. We'll look at this next week. And evil came out of good. And his kingdom began. And his kingdom is on this earth. He's the prince of the power of the air. And unless you are born of the Spirit of God, translated out of that kingdom, and put into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Son of his love, unless you have that new nature, that you now are like him, that old nature is no longer ruling you, you are still a prisoner in the kingdom of darkness. And that is what we are looking at in this world. Fallen systems, a fallen man, under the lordship and the rulership of darkness. And that's how it is. But God has a better plan. And God has redemption. He bought us back. He has reconciliation. He brought us back. He bought us back. He brought us back. And restoration. He is transforming us back to all that was lost. So let's read on. Then comes the end, verse 24. When he delivers the kingdom to God. Who is he? Jesus. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. You'll see that in Revelation chapter 20, when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell, I believe, this is my opinion, are beings. I believe that you don't throw an idea into the lake of fire. I believe you throw beings, rulers, into the lake of fire. That's simply my opinion. That's a little random thought in angelology. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. That's what the word says. All things are under the feet of Jesus Christ. But when he says all things are put under him, when he, speaking of God, says that all things are put under Jesus Christ, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. It's evident that God has a plan. He's put all things under the feet of his Son. The cross. Remember Ephesians chapter 1:10? He's reconciling all things, visible and invisible, through Jesus and his cross. God has put all things under the feet of Jesus Christ. And he will rule and he will reign until the last enemy is destroyed. Now, verse 28, when all things are made subject to him, the Son, then the Son himself will also be subject to him, God the Father, who put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. Rebellion will be over. Darkness will be destroyed. Death and hell will be in the lake of fire. everything that has happened will be completely redeemed, reconciled, and restored back to the Father. And God will be all and in all. And then eternity starts. And that's the greatest adventure yet ahead of us. So right now, Earth time, you and I are a part of the restoration of all things through Jesus Christ and the cross. Now, why this changed my life when I finally, the penny dropped, and I've just explained it to you probably. Some of you have never heard this, and this might be the first time it's been explained this way. But what is amazing to me, that God is using Jesus Christ, his cross, to reconcile visible and invisible things back to himself. And guess what that means? He's the head, we're the body. That means I'm part, in my lifetime, of this incredible restoration program, because I'm the body of Jesus Christ. I'm his mouth, his hands, his feet. I'm his body. I'm his temple. I'm his bride. And I'm going to rule and reign with him through all eternity. And earth side, I'm learning how to reign in his nature and character, which we'll see as agape love, and to be victorious, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus and by his blood, I now am a part of this incredible restoration of heaven and earth and the new heavens and the new earth that is coming. Wow. It's a big topic. It's a huge topic. I cannot possibly do this in 2 weeks, but if I can whet your appetite, if I can just get you to begin to open your eyes as you read the Word of God and as you read the Gospels, look at how many times he preached the kingdom. He came to reveal the Father. He came to show us the kingdom. He came to show us what real humanity is to look like and to be like and to act like, to take us out of this darkness, this all we know, our default program. It's all we know. And to bring us into this brand new kingdom with a brand new nature, with the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit who infuses his power and teaches us every single day how to walk, how to think, how to live, how to move, how to do whatever it is we have to do that day. From the smallest object, I sanded cabinets yesterday and painted oak cabinets and whitewashed them and chalked them so that I could take an old thing and make it look somewhat new because I can't afford new cabinets in my bathroom. I've got my hands dirty, I'm painting, I'm sanding, but do you know I was in the Spirit the whole day doing that? Do you know what I'm saying? Because you are spirit being. You are having a time existence. You are fleshing this out in this earthen temple, but your soul and your spirit are made in the image of God. You're gonna get a brand new body. You're gonna look just like him. You're going to be able to walk through walls just like he did. The best is yet to come. But right now, we are in a restoration process, and our generation has a responsibility to do our part until we get to go home in our time frame. Because remember that little line of time? That's all there is. And the rest is eternity. Did that make any sense? Kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, we have hung on to a bag of dust, wealth, natural things. It's dust. It's made of the earth. It's going to blow away as a vapor. When God says, fear not, little flock. I've given you the kingdom. The kingdom is limitless. The kingdom is all powerful. It cannot be shaken. Anything you need for your life on this planet has already been provided through the kingdom. And his name, his blood, and his way of life gives us full access into what we need. I have so much to say. I wanted to teach a bit on the King, because you can't know who you are if you don't know who he is, the King. So maybe just, can you give me 5 minutes? Just five more minutes about the King. Okay. I've given you the plan of the kingdom in a nutshell. We'll go over it again next week. I know it's a lot. But God's using the church. He's using Jesus Christ to reconcile, to redeem, and to restore all things visible and invisible. But the kingdom must have a king. And the king is Jesus. And there's three things this morning, and these are words we don't use because we don't live in a kingdom, we live in a democracy. So you don't know these words, and I don't either. But if we lived in Britain, or if we lived in a small fiefdom that had a king, you would understand these three words because they explain who a king is and what he does. So let me just give them to you. His realm, his reign, and his regency. The king, Jesus Christ, his realm is simply the scope and the influence of his dominion. It's all things. The kingdom of God stretches from eternity end to eternity beginning and infinity and on. He's the king. He's allowed darkness to stay, and he's using darkness, but darkness, listen, by the puff of his breath, he will destroy Satan and throw him into the lake of fire. He could destroy him like that, but he's using us because there's a reason. The Father is creating a bride for the Son to rule and reign with him in eternity. Adam is the prototype. Adam is the imager. God made Adam. Adam was alone. It wasn't good. God brought creation to Adam. Adam in his brilliance named and identified all of creation because he had dominion, but Adam was alone. There was no one that was like Adam in that creation. No one. No one. There was male and female, but there was no counterpart to Adam. So you know what God did. Out of Adam, he brought forth woman. He pulled out of Adam the woman. She was created from the dust of Adam and the essence and the DNA of Adam. And she stood face to face with Adam. And Adam had his counterpart. Adam had his bride. Adam had the one that would know him, understand him, recognize him, because she had his nature. Nature is inherited. Character is determined by choices. A dog is a dog, a pig is a pig, a saint is a saint. Nature is inherited. She came out of Adam, and she had Adam's nature made in the image and the likeness of God. That is why you can image. That is why you have an imagination. That is why in the inside of you, you can see. If I say dog, on the inside you see a dog. If I say a big German shepherd, you see on the inside a big German shepherd, because made us in his image, God did, and he gave us words that have power and life, and they contain images and ideas, and death and life is in the power of the tongue, because we're made in the image of Almighty God. God made Eve for Adam to rule and reign with him for eternity in the garden. Before the fall, God is ruling and reigning in all eternity, and he has a bride for the Son. And out of the cross of Jesus Christ, God pulled out the DNA. He pulled out that which he was going to need, called the Church of the Living God. And we are born again of the Spirit of God, and sons and daughters of God now become the bride of Christ, the one that will sit with Jesus Christ in heavenly places and rule and reign with him in eternity. That's who you are. We are no longer mere men and women. We're not. We live in a dusty world. But that's why God says, grow up. Grow up. Learn who I am. Be Pardon me and in my presence, because I am Almighty God. All things were made by him and for him and with him. Nothing was made that was made. Jesus holds all things together by the word of his power. He's the word made flesh that became the last Adam. And you and I are going to rule and reign with him. You see, you got to know who the king is, because then you know who you are. The king. The king. The King Jesus, his realm, the scope and the influence of his dominion. As creator of heaven and earth, he is above all and independent of all that exists, both seen and unseen. He existed before all creation. He expands beyond it. And by virtue of having been begotten, he encompasses all that it is. He is the last Adam. He is all God and he is all flesh. There is a man seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is your king. He is your Lord. He is your high priest, and you are his bride. He is the head and you are the body, and there is no separation. None. His reign, the exercise of power by a sovereign king, how the Godhead rules, the Trinity, how does it work? Oh my, these are lessons that can take weeks. But we see it clearly in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit hovered over that darkness, and God said, "Let there be light." We see the Trinity. You see, the Father conceives it. The Word, the Son, commands it. The Spirit, the Creator, creates it. That's how it works. The Father conceives, the Son commands, the Spirit creates. That's how it works. I'm making it so simplistic, but I'm a simple woman. How does it work in the new birth? So easy. You have a new nature. Philippians chapter 2 says that God is at work both to will and to do his good pleasure. He downloads into me now the Word. I have the teacher, the revelator of the church. I have a new nature. I'm not in bondage to sin and death. I am now a new creation. I can read the word. I have the best teacher that ever was given to man. His name is God, the Holy Spirit. And when you don't understand something, all you have to do is open that book and pray a prayer of faith, and God will begin to show you. He'll get you a teacher if you need one. He'll teach you himself. He will make sure he reveals all that Jesus is and all that belongs to him, because you're his body. So God conceives his word in us now. He writes his word in our hearts, it says in Hebrews. The Spirit creates. Let me go to the second. The Son now is the head. I'm the body. There's no separation. My head and my body are connected. Hello. You'll see this in Ephesians chapter 2. That's the lie of the enemy, is that we're separated. We're not. You see, the head, he commands now through me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the enemy's defeated. In the name of Jesus, the enemy's defeated. In his name, the blind see. In his name, the deaf hear. In his name, the poor have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. In his name, all that he is and all that he will ever be is all wrapped up in his name, the King. The Spirit now indwells me, and now he takes that command. I'm healed by the stripes of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I will not bow to memory loss. I will not bow to arthritis. I will not bow to depression. You see, as I begin to decree the word of God, the word of the Son, my healer, the Spirit now takes those words and he begins to recreate all that that word has for me. That is how his realm, his reign works, how he works. God conceives, the Son commands, the Spirit creates. The last one, I'm done. You all right? I go a little crazy over this, don't I? I'm passionate about this. It's changed my life. It took me from poverty into success. It took me from being a single mom who my ex-husband sold drugs from Amsterdam to Germany to the United States. I should have been in prison. Listen, I am here talking to you today because I have lived this, and he has translated me out of that kingdom of darkness, and he's put me in the kingdom of God. He has sent me around the world. He's allowed me to teach his word. Now, as an old grandma and a great grandmother, I can sit here and I can tell you this is truth. You can change your lives. His regency, the authority by which he rules. We'll end with this. The authority by which he rules was his victorious obedience. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow to the glory of God the Father. You see, there's a king. There's a kingdom. You and I are joined with every spiritual blessing. We've been chosen by God, adopted into his family, royal. Like Vanessa said last week, you cannot reverse adoption. It cannot be taken away. We're adopted. We are highly favored, like Mary. Blessed Mary, who was the one woman in all of humanity that God said, you're the seed. You're the one that's going to birth God the Son, the Word made flesh. We have that same blessing and favor. And the authority, as we come under submission to his lordship, we have authority in his name. And as he rules the heavens, because we've been restored back to the garden position to have dominion, so the church now is to rule the earth, not in the kingdom of darkness, but in the kingdom of God. Next week, we'll find out what that means. Did you get something out of this morning? I hope I didn't overwhelm you. It's a big topic. It takes us 3 semesters in the Bible college. I gave it to you in an hour. So I can only pray you're inspired by the Holy Spirit. Your King left heaven. The glory that attended his deity, all his privilege. The King of the universe. He emptied himself. And he became a man so that he could walk through the human experience. He could fulfill the law because no man could obey it. He would be qualified to be the Lamb of God. He was the one that was able to be our sacrifice, because a sacrifice for sin had to be innocent, and he was innocent. And when he hung on that cross, when he bled out and that blood dripped on the earth, and then he took that blood to the mercy seat of God, he fulfilled every assignment against you. He stilled every lying tongue against you, every accusing force. And he said, Father, if they'll believe in me, they will have my nature, and I can bring them back to you. And that, in a nutshell, is what salvation is. We can't get to the Father without Jesus. And today, maybe you're here for the first time, or you're on the fence, and you're not sure what to believe, because there's so many world religions, and we're heard, and we're told all these things. But God said there's only one way to Jesus. There's only one way to him. Excuse me, it's through his son, Jesus. And if you've never surrendered all of your heart and all of your life to him, then no matter how wonderful you are, how good you try to be, how much you strive to be a good person and to be godly without receiving and accepting his sacrifice, without surrendering your life to him, saying, you are who you said you are. I believe. Be my Lord and be my Savior. You're not connected and rejoined back to the Father. And heaven is not waiting for you. Hell is. God didn't make you for hell. He made you for heaven. And he sent me today to invite you these last moments that if you're not right with God, if you've not surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, today can be your first day of eternity walking with the Father, walking with the Son, and having the Holy Spirit as your teacher and your guide. I remember I was raised up in the church. When I was 16 years old, I started my rebellion, and I rebelled for 10 years until I was 26. I traveled to and fro and in some pretty interesting things, great sin, actually. I was fearless. I would do anything. I was completely insane and stupid. If you knew my past and my life, you'd be shocked at who I am today. But I knew that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. I just knew I wasn't worthy to serve him. So I was afraid to get right with God because I didn't trust myself. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you know this is truth, but you're afraid. You don't trust you. You know the world you've got to go back to. You know the things that you have to walk into and live. Maybe you're living with somebody like I was. Maybe you're involved in things that you know aren't right, but you're here today. And you see, God knows where you're at. God knows what you go home to. God knows what you face. But God loves you, and he sent his Son for you, and he's bigger than your mistakes. He's greater than what your life is, and he has the power to change you. You don't, but he does. I could never be who I am today without the power of Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, no moving around this auditorium, this will just take a moment. If you've never surrendered all of your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, I'm talking to you. If you served him like I did as a child and you knew the truth, but you've wandered so far from him and you need to get right with him, I'm talking to you. If you're a good moral person, trying to do the right thing, but you've never surrendered heart and life to Jesus Christ, letting him be Savior and Lord, I'm talking to you. In just a moment, I'm going to ask us to raise our hands if we need to get right with God. No one's looking around. I want to give you the gift of privacy. It's between you and God. If you know you're not right with God, if you know if you were to die tonight, you're not sure you'd go to heaven, I'm talking to you. I'm going to count to three, and if you need to get right with God, I want you to raise your hands. We'll do it all together. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Let me see your hands if you need to get right with God. I see that hand. Raise them high. Keep them up. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Raise them up again at me. Look at me. 1, 2, raise them high. 3, 4, 5. Anybody else? I've counted 5 hands. Anybody else? 1 more, 6. Anybody else need to get right with God today? God sent you here today to change your destiny. Anybody else? 1 more hand. I see those hands. I counted 6 hands. I want us to do this. I want us to stand. We're going to close this service. We are going to pray with you. I'm not going to make you come forward today. I'm going to pray with you, and I want you to come back next week. We're going to give you a Bible. If you want to come forward, if you want to have a spiritual personal trainer and some help, please come forward and talk with us. But right now, let's get you right with God. You don't get right with God by raising your hand. You get right with God by praying this prayer. And it's not a magic prayer. He reads your heart. This isn't some abracadabra prayer, and now I'm saved. No, this is you. In your heart of hearts, realizing you are a sinner like I was, you need a Savior, you know he's it, and today, Lord Jesus, I want to surrender and I want you to come into my life, be my Savior, and be my Lord. If you are willing to pray that prayer, let's go before the Lord now and pray it. And every head bowed and every eye closed. If you raised your hand, I need you to pray this from your heart. Saints of God that are already saved, let's pray it together with them. I want you to say, Father, here I am. In the midst of you, I have heard your word this morning. I've heard the truth. I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son. I believe that you sent him for me, that he died for me, and that you raised him from the dead. Therefore, Father, I need a Savior. And I'm asking, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. And Lord Jesus, be my Lord. I know that means boss. I don't know how to live for you, but you know how to live in me. So help me. Give me your Holy Spirit. Help me to become the woman you want me to be. And help me to live the rest of my days serving, loving, and living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the word says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I will deny you. What I'd like you to do is, if you prayed that prayer from your heart and you meant it, I want you to just now turn around and tell somebody, I'm a Christian. I just asked Jesus into my heart. And just turn around and ask your neighbor, did you pray that prayer? Just go ahead. Let's have a little communion right now. Are you believers? If you're a new believer, let them hug you. Let them celebrate you. Let them say, welcome to the family of God. You've just changed your life. Pastor Jess.
So good. So good.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.